On Friday, U.S. District Judge Barbara Crabb issued a ruling declaring Wisconsin's same-sex marriage ban unconstitutional, allowing county clerks to decide whether to issue marriage licenses to same-sex couples. Yesterday, we talked with the group that fought against the ban on behalf of 8 same-sex couples, and today we'll hear from someone who supports the ban. I'm Cynthia Schuster, in for Joy Cardine on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen has filed an appeal with Judge Crabb's ruling, and meanwhile, 2/3 of Wisconsin's counties say they're ready to issue marriage licenses. We invite you to join the conversation. Where do you stand on the issue? How do you hope the legal process shakes itself out? Let us know at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Our email address is talk@WPR.org, or you can tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. My guest is Kelly Fedorick. She's the litigation counsel with the Alliance Defending Freedom and a member of the ADF's Center for Marriage and Family. She also testified on same-sex marriage before various state legislatures. Kelly, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Cynthia, for having me on.
Sure. Well, many conservatives said that they saw this day coming, where the constitutional amendment might be overturned by the federal judge. And the story isn't over yet, though. What's your assessment of where this case lies today?
Well, I think, first of all, just to take a step back, I think the larger issue here is that more than 1.6 million Wisconsins voted back in 2006 in a free and a fair election to affirm marriage as one man and one woman. And on Friday, with Judge Crabb's decision, she effectively overturned the will of the majority of Wisconsins, which is a truly unfortunate thing for the democratic process.
Well, I'll pose a question to you that I also posed to our guest yesterday. Despite the vote in 2006, the latest poll, public opinion poll out of the Marquette Law School out of Milwaukee, shows that 55% of people are now in favor of same-sex marriage, which would indicate perhaps a change of public attitude towards same-sex marriage. What's your take on that?
Well, again, I think it goes back to the people. And if the people do, in fact, want to change their constitution, they should have the freedom to be able to do so and to make that choice without that choice being snatched from them by the federal judiciary. And, you know, the U.S. Supreme Court in its various decisions, including its most recent one last summer in U.S. v. Windsor, they affirmed the people's right that they have the authority to affirm marriage however they wish. So it should remain with the people and not be snatched from them by the federal judiciary.
So in order to overturn the marriage amendment, there should be another referendum and amendment made to the amendment.
Absolutely. Okay. The people of every state, they have that authority to define marriage for their community. And the Constitution says nothing neither good nor bad about same-sex marriage. It says that the people should have that right to define it, and it should remain with the people. And Judge Crabb effectively took that in her decision, took that decision from the Wisconsin people.
Now, Judge Crabb rejected Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen's request to stop gay marriages from happening in Wisconsin in the meantime here while things sort themselves out. He insists that Crabb merely called the law unconstitutional but did not give any instruction on what to do from that point. Therefore, he says that the state's marriage law is still in place. Crabb responded by saying she's leaving, quote, the status quo intact until she issues specific orders to public officials. So there's a lot going on here, but first, how exactly do you interpret Crabb's initial ruling on Friday?
Well, that's a really great question, and the reality is Wisconsin's marriage laws are still in full force and effect, and all state and local officials are under an obligation to continue to follow Wisconsin's marriage laws unless the court then enjoins the law, which Judge Crabb has not done. She simply made a declaration. She did not issue an injunction, and so in some ways, the fact that she denied the stay, you can't really stay something that's not been enjoined. So the marriage laws are still good law in Wisconsin, and it would be a violation of marriage laws to issue same-sex marriage licenses.
So there were some ceremonies performed, at least in Dane County and Milwaukee County over the weekend, just to start, and then there have been some more licenses issued since then. Are those marriages valid now, or are they not?
Well, again, I think the larger issue is that Wisconsin's marriage law is still in full force and in effect, and that this is the law that 1.6 million Wisconsins went to the ballot box to vote on back in 06, and for good reason. I mean, there's good reasons to define marriage as one man and one woman, and it's up again to the states to define that and to determine that for their community.
So how do we, those of us who don't have law degrees, make sense of the process here? What's your advice for following along on the issue?
Well, obviously, I think we'll need to pay attention to see what happens in the coming weeks. In Judge Crabb's opinion, she said that the plaintiffs need to respond by June 16th in terms of outlining a proposed injunction of what they want that to look like, to which defendants will then be able to respond as well. So in the coming weeks, we will likely be hearing more from Judge Crabb about where the law actually exists. And obviously, as you said earlier, the AG has appealed this to the Seventh Circuit. So in a lot of respects, we're seeing this across the country. This is really nothing new. And we don't really worry too much about what the district court ultimately says. All that really matters is how the U.S. Supreme Court is going to decide this issue in the end. And if they're consistent with what they've said in the past in Windsor, states do have the right to define marriage for themselves, and they have the right to shape the destiny of their own times.
And now, do you anticipate that the U.S. Supreme Court will settle this issue? Van Hollen even says that he thinks it would happen in the next term. Do you agree?
Yes, I think more than likely we'll see the U.S. Supreme Court take up at least one of the cases. We've already seen several in the Fourth and the Tenth Circuit that have already been argued. We're just waiting on rulings. So it's only a matter of time. It could likely be as soon as next June that we'll have a decision from the U.S. Supreme Court.
And what's the ideal decision in your opinion?
Well, you know, those who are arguing against marriage, they contend that the Constitution itself defines marriage as a genderless institution. And that's not correct. The people do have a say in deciding these weighty social, philosophical, political, and legal issues, too, that are implicated by this public debate. So the Constitution, you know, has not removed this question from the people. The people have the right to debate this and to engage on this. The people know marriage best. And so the ideal decision is for the court to allow states to continue to define marriage policy as they see fit based on each state's, you know, community.
And do you anticipate that they'll rule in that way?
Well, you know, obviously you can't predict anything that the Supreme Court may or may not do. But I think the more important issue is that this such a decision is consistent with U.S. Supreme Court precedent, and certainly what was said. You know, at the heart of the Windsor decision, its central theme was the right of states to define marriage. And so assuming that they stay in, you know, consistent with their past precedent, I believe that marriage should, you know, will continue to stay in the states and stay under state sovereignty and not be, you know, rejected or thwarted based on the federal judiciary.
We're talking with Kelly Fedorik. She is litigation counsel with the Alliance Defending Freedom and a member of the ADF's Center for Marriage and Family. She also testified on same-sex marriage before various state legislatures. And we're taking your calls and reactions to what's been going on here in Wisconsin with regards to our same-sex marriage ban and the subsequent decision on Friday to to overturn it and declare it unconstitutional by Judge Barbara Crabb. Our phone number is 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. And our email address is talk@WPR.org. You can also leave us a comment on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. I'm Cynthia Schuster, in for Joy Cardine on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're talking about the state's same-sex marriage ban, which was overturned by a federal court judge on Friday. The attorney general is appealing the decision, and our guest this half hour supports that appeal. She's Kelly Fedorik, litigation counsel with the Alliance Defending Freedom and a member of the ADF's Center for Marriage and Family. We're taking your calls at 1-800-642-1234, and our email address is talk@WPR.org. Let's take a call from Carl in Madison. Hi, Carl.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I am a heterosexual male, and I will actually, my fiance and I will be getting married in August. And I wanted to make the comment that I think that Judge Crabb's decision affirms the notion that in a free society, the majority does not get to vote on the civil rights of the minority. And marriage is absolutely a civil right given the privileges, both economic and social, that it confers on married couples. And if we had to vote on if Jim Crow had been up for a vote, we'd still have Jim Crow. This is an issue of civil rights, and it's disrespectful to my marriage to exclude certain classes of people from that institution.
And Kelly, what's your response to that?
Well, Wisconsin's marriage laws and court decisions have always upheld the complementary nature of marriage, the idea that it is good for the family and for children to have a mother and a father, and to affirm that public purpose of marriage as promoting homes where both parents are present for the good of children and the good of society. But ultimately, the U.S. and the Wisconsin constitutions affirm the right of the people of Wisconsin. They have the authority to affirm marriage as one man or one woman, and they should have the freedom to be able to go and debate that and talk about it if they think that that should be changed. And that's the democratic process. That's the beauty of living in America and these important policy decisions. Nothing could be more important than the marital relationship, and the people should have that ability to discuss it and to be able to talk about it, to talk about whether or not you should intentionally deny a child of ever knowing his or her mother or father. These are important topics that shouldn't be snatched from the American people.
What about Carl's point that this is a matter of civil rights and that if Jim Crow laws had been up for a public vote, they'd still be in effect today?
Well, trying to compare this debate with Jim Crow and with the horrible treatment that the African-American community has suffered is truly an outrageous comparison, number one. And number two, the fundamental right to marry in U.S. Supreme Court precedent and throughout the history of our country has always been gendered. It has always been between a man and a woman, and for good reason, because when you bring a man and woman together to commit to one another, that's good for children and that's good for society. And it really cuts to the heart, again, that children should never be intentionally denied their right to know their mother and father wherever possible. So there's good reasons that we've had marriage laws historically and that they've been gendered. And that's a very important relationship for the state to continue to protect.
Let's go next to Elaine in Appleton. Hi, Elaine.
Good morning. I think it probably would have been better or more easily understood if they would have called it a family partnership, because that way there are handicapped people could live together, brothers and sisters, friends, whatever, just people living together for convenience and for breaks in the law, tax laws and whatever. And it would have been more easily understood. And people who have medical problems with being homosexual or lesbian or whatever it is, that's a medical problem from hereditary conditions, and that should be could be acknowledged very well too. Then they would have a monetary family structure in place for these families.
Okay, Elaine, I'm a little bit confused by your point, but Kelly, do you have any clarity to provide?
Well, I think what Elaine might be getting at is the fact that the lower court's logic, if carried out, would really permit nearly every relationship to be a marriage, so long as it's grounded in choice and emotion. So it's not just extended to, really the logic, if you carry it out, why are we just opening this to same-sex couples? If we want to truly redefine the marriage relationship as it has always been, well, it by the court's logic, it can't just be a same-sex couple. It should be open to minors. It should be open to those related by blood. So if you have a love or attraction for anyone, if it's rooted in choice and emotion, why are we limiting it to just two individuals? So I think it just sort of shows that redefining marriage cuts very deep, and it contradicts what marriage has always stood for in society, as uniting a man and a woman together to support one another and to provide the two complementary halves of society. You know, men and women bring very different gifts to the table for the good of society and for the good of children, and that's a good thing that we should continue to protect.
Mercedes in Wauwatosa is next. What's your question
Hello,
or comment?
Thank you. My comment is quite simple, Kelly. In the first place, actually, I take offense that you choose to define for myself and the rest of society what marriage should be in the basis of man and woman and a sense of morality. My point of view is quite different, and it seems like everybody seems to forget this when having been divorced myself. Historically, marriage was created for the protection of the goods and, you know, property, et cetera, of the two people that join. So if we look at marriage as the historical value, and also when you go to divorce court, it falls really under contract law because that's what they do. You're splitting up the goods. You're figuring out where the money is going and for who and how the 401k plan, et cetera, is going to occur. I don't see that as a definition of a male and female raising a child. I see that the protection of the interests of the two parties that joined. So if we're looking at it as contract law, why then are we separating the folks that don't happen to be opposite genders uniting? It seems very biased, and it seems actually ironic that when we're getting married, we must be women and men, but when we're getting divorced, we look at it as contract law.
Thanks, Mercedes. What's your response, Kelly?
Well, you know, I think that's a little bit off topic, but at the same time, I like I said earlier, I support the freedom of every American. States should be able to discuss this issue and to debate it and to talk about it. You know, they know marriage best. The people live it in their everyday lives, and they've also suffered from divorce oftentimes as well. And so the judiciary should not be snatching this decision from the hands of the people. They should not be rejecting that which the people decide to do. And so people in every state should be free to define marriage however that they see as best for their community within that state. And this is consistent with legal precedent, and that's the right. It's the fundamental right to be able to go to the ballot box and to define marriage as you see best for your society. And I think that's a freedom everyone should have and that no one should take away.
Ian on Twitter wants to know, what does same-sex marriage have to do with children knowing their parents?
Well, when you promote and allow people of the same sex to come together and have children and to create that family, by doing so, you intentionally tell that child, hey, I'm sorry, but, you know, you don't get to know your mom or your dad. It's intentionally depriving them of one member of the opposite sex because, by nature, same-sex couples is two people of the same sex. So it has everything to do with children, and marriage traditionally has its ideal has served society's child-centered purposes and tried to create in the law a legal bond connecting children to their mother and father and avoiding the negative outcomes, which our president has very much acknowledged in his fatherhood initiative, the importance of having both a mom and dad raising a child.
In our last minute or so here, how hopeful or worried are you that the states that had gay marriage bans, including Wisconsin, will be reinstated?
Well, you know, the laws that exist in the majority of states still protect marriage. They define marriage as the union of one man and one woman, and the people and their elected representatives who enacted those laws and have had those laws since the very founding of every state are good laws, and they affirm very reasonable and rational principles. And so these laws are consistent with both U.S. constitutional law and state constitutional law, and they should be able to continue to be free to safeguard those laws.
Kelly, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me on.
Sure. Kelly Fedorek is litigation counsel with the Alliance Defending Freedom and a member of the ADF's Center for Marriage and Family. She also testified on same-sex marriage before various state legislatures. You can hear as well tomorrow or yesterday's show at 7:30, where we talked with the legal director of ACLU of Wisconsin. That's archived at WPR.org/joy. Thanks to Bill Martins for producing the hour, to Robin Cherry for on-air production, and to Christy Taylor for on-air direction. I'm Cynthia Schuster, and for Joy Cardine, this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.